May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. Hymn 333.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is from the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. May the Lord bless to our souls the reading of his word. May he help Benji to pray.
Come now and have mercy upon us and teach us how to pray. Oh, that thou wilt come and indite true prayer in our hearts and leave us not to ourselves. For, Lord, all will be confusion if left to ourselves. Our eyes then are up unto thee to have mercy upon us and enable us to seek thee and to come with that humble, contrite spirit to confess our sins. For, O Lord, what sinners we are in thy sight. O Lord, and we do pray that thou wilt have mercy upon us and enable us to truly confess these things before thee. O Lord, so full of unbelief, distrust in thee, looking elsewhere, O Lord, thou knowest all the evils within, and yet we have to seek thee, that thou wilt come over these things and grant us that right knowledge of thee. O Lord, that we might come seeking mercy, for it is all of mercy. O, our eyes then are up unto thee and what thou hast done. O Lord, as we have just read, looking unto Jesus. O, do put it in each of our hearts to look to thee, to seek thee. O, leave us not wrapped up in the things of time, for thou knowest how they seem to take so much of our time, and, Lord, leave so little for thee. But, Lord, even all these mercies we have here below all come of thy hand. Thou hast provided all things here below for us. Oh, may we remember this and thank thee for thy many mercies to us and thy help granted, bringing us through, providing for us. O Lord, and we pray that thou wilt sanctify these things and enable us to look to thee for those greater mercies. O Lord, do work in our hearts and leave us not. Quicken us into life and draw us by thy power unto thee. Oh, that we each might be enabled to see that precious Jesus, who has done all things, and now lives and reigns above, O Lord, to answer our prayers. Oh, that thou wilt put it in our hearts to seek thee in all things. Do then have mercy on us and remember us now, O Lord, and thou knowest the many needs and trials and difficulties of each one, those things brought into thy house this day, and we pray that thou wilt hear, that thou wilt answer, that thou wilt send those answers of peace. For, O Lord, nothing is impossible with thee, but we have such little faith in our hearts to truly believe it. O Lord, how we need that exhortation. O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Oh, that thou wilt increase our faith and draw us unto thee. O Lord, as thou then knowest the needs of each one, and Lord, if there are any that have come just as the door upon its hinges, we pray that thou wilt work in their hearts this day and remember them in mercy. Cause thy word to enter and be effectual in their hearts in bringing them unto thee. And Lord, any that have left thy house, we pray that thou wilt turn them around and bring them back. Bring them under the sound of thy truth. O Lord, for there is but one thing needful. May we each be enabled to seek after it and to trust in thee. O Lord, we pray then that thou wilt use that word thy servants bring week by week, that thou wilt make it effectual, and that there might be that help given to one and another, that there might be those sinners brought to thee. And Lord, those that can rejoice in thy name, to know that they have found their Saviour. And oh, if it can be thy will, may there be those that can come and tell what thou hast done. O Lord, do put it then in the hearts of one and another. It is thy work, and thy work alone, we desire to see. Oh, that we might truly then be among those that look for thy appearing. Thy appearing even while here below. For, O Lord, that greater, thy appearing at the end of time. Oh, may we each be prepared and each made ready for an eternity to come. And Lord, we do then pray for thy servants, and we pray for thy servant we expect this day. O Lord, do help him through the day. Bring him to us tonight in peace and safety with a word to speak, a word of thine. As thus saith the Lord, if it can be thy will. We pray then that there might be those ears made ready to hear, and those understanding hearts. O Lord, that there might be that praise, honour and glory unto thy name. And Lord, we do remember those with particular trials, those busy travelling at this time. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt keep them where they are, that thou wilt use these things, if it can be thy will, and sanctify their various trials, difficulties, and mercies. O Lord, for all is in thy hands, thou art not bound. O do have mercy then, and remember each one. And Lord, we desire to bring our country before thee once more. Thou knowest we know not how to pray, but Lord, thou seest the wickedness that runs down our streets, the desecration of thy day, the evil laws, Satan gaining more and more. And oh, we pray that we might ever remember that thou art above all these things, and that thou dost reign in heaven above, and that thy power is almighty. We pray then that thou wilt turn the hearts of our rulers, if it can be thy will, and bring them to look to thee and thy word. O Lord, do help us to continually seek these things, however impossible we seem to think at times. But Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. Remember us in mercy then here below, and continue and help us in our privileges to worship thee. Keep us, O Lord, in thy fear. Do then remember thy servants and help each one, and we pray that if it can be thy will, that thou wilt send other labourers into thy vineyard. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt truly work in the hearts of one and another, that they might be enabled to preach thy name, to raise up a precious Jesus. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember us here this day and use thy word, and help us now. O Lord, we have not one of thy servants with us, but we pray that thou wilt use that word preached in time past. Bring it alive once more, O Lord, and cause it to be effectual. O that there might be that good thing done in thy name, and that we might be enabled to worship thee in spirit and in truth. O, do go before us each now in all our untrodden steps, how we need thee to keep us in that right way, for how soon we turn aside, O Lord, quickly into bypath meadow. But O, we need thee, keep us right, keep us looking unto Jesus, seeking thee, O Lord, even in the things of time, but so much more in those things concerning our never dying souls. Oh, may we each be enabled to consider these things, to consider our latter end, and to consider thee. Oh, that we might have that heart to look to thee and what thou hast done, how thou didst suffer. And Lord, may we each know that it was for my sins. Oh, Lord, do give us then that true faith to believe that thou art the Son of God, our Saviour, our Redeemer, our Lord. Oh, remember us now. Go before us in this service. Help us still, and forgive us our sins, for thy name's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 871. Happy the man that bears the stroke of his chastising God, nor stubbornly rejects his yoke, nor faints beneath his rod. Hymn 871.
Thank you.
I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by William Tiptaft. You will find the words of the text in Psalm 30. Psalm 30, verse 5. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Who among you can honestly say before God that it is your earnest desire to know what real religion you have, so that you can appeal to God and tell him that you do not want to be deceived, that you do not want to have a kind of religion that so many are delighted with, merely to talk about and boast of? But that will never do when it comes to be tried. That you can honestly say to God, give me that religion that will do to stand the fire, that will enable me to bear it. This is very cutting to the pride of the human heart. I have known a little of this in my experience. How very mortifying, after having flattered ourselves that we have got a great way on in religion, to have to be brought back again and made to feel that we know scarcely anything aright, and almost to fear that we are only reprobates. To experience this is something like a man in his sleep dreaming he is rich, but when he awakes finding himself a beggar. But then if you know these things, you will know a little of what the children of Israel experienced in being brought to the borders of Jordan and then taken back again almost to the Red Sea, and be as far off from the promised land as though they had scarcely moved a single step. If your religion is of such a kind that you never have any fears about it, I am not satisfied that it is the genuine work of God the Holy Ghost. I believe you have a great deal more dross than you have any idea of. The fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. If a man is never tried and exercised in his soul whether the work is of grace or not, I believe such persons are not taught of God. I am very certain of this, for I know by my own experience that a man cannot be refined but in the furnace of trial. It is not merely talking about refining. That is not sufficient. You must actually go through the painful feeling of it. Now the Lord hath a fire in Zion and a furnace in Jerusalem. And who shall say that God hath made them in vain? If then he has a fire in Zion and a furnace in Jerusalem, it is as Paul says, that he might purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now there can be no purifying without the fire, and there can be no peculiarity without being made so. What does this peculiarity mean? It does not consist in sentiment, nor is it in merely talking about it. None can be purified, none can be made peculiar, except they have gone through these afflictions, sorrows, and trials by the teachings and leadings of God the Spirit. Where this is the case, afterward there will come forth from the fire a vessel unto honour, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The Lord will try and purge his people, and not one of them can escape it. He is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. If any here are flattering themselves that they shall get to heaven without divine chastisements, if they are among the Lord's quickened family, they will find themselves woefully mistaken. For it is through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God. Paul denounces all those who are ignorant of these things as bastards and not sons, and says, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Those are not the true-born sons of Zion who do not bear those marks of God's gracious dealings upon their souls. They can neither speak of affliction nor of mercy, of being well abased, nor of being lifted up by the power of God's grace, so that the scripture cannot be broken, and these words were not written in vain. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." I have known what it is to despise and be weary of him. I have known what it is to bless and praise God for them, and to know that I could not have been kept in the straight and narrow way that leadeth to eternal life without them. Now many of you may speak of your afflictions and troubles as cutting very deep, and you may want to have them much lightened or removed. But can you point out to God what they should be? The temple of the Lord is not built of shavings or sawdust, but of living stones cut out and arranged. If you would be fitted for a place in that temple, be not surprised at these exercises and trials. Paul says, "And he was a wise master builder, a man well instructed in his soul. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If it were not for afflictions and crosses, temporal trials, diseases of body, personal, relative, and family afflictions, those very things that cause you so much fretfulness and rebellion, if you could have all things as you would, there would be no ballast to keep you in your right position. Now, suppose you were sailing upon the sea. If a storm were to arise, and you beheld various vessels driven hither and thither and wrecked from want of ballast, while others that had ballast were riding securely. I say, if you knew that ballast could by any possibility be had, would you not be very desirous to obtain it, to prevent you from becoming a wreck like the others? Well then, where will men not go if they are without ballast? Will they not run about here and there, get carried away into vain delusions, puffed up in pride, and know very little either of the power or reality of vital religion? Therefore the Lord says, for lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the Lord's family are secure, but what will become of the chaff? We all want to get to heaven as cheaply as we can to flesh and blood. We want to escape trials, crosses, and afflictions. Some people talk and preach as though they were the cleverest people in religion, who try to get to glory without these trials and troubles. How very few churches or chapels there are in England where you can hear the doctrine of tribulation preached. If you search for such ministers, you will find they are very scarce indeed. But how can any other kind of preaching lead those who sit under it into the way that God leads his people? If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. But those whose eyes are opened, having been anointed with the eye salve of the Spirit, will say of all letter preachers who speak against the trials and exercises of God's children, as Job said to his friends, if your soul were in my soul's stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. So that they who have their eyes open to discern the darkness and blindness of such guides see that their teaching will neither do to live nor die by. They know that there is a reality and power in religion which they never touch upon, and that it is something more precious and glorious than they can have any idea of, until they are made to understand it, either by the want of it or by the enjoyment of those spiritual blessings which are hid from the wise and prudent and revealed unto babes. I am convinced that none but those who have been taught by the blessed Spirit of God can truly understand the Psalms. And therefore, Those who try to apply all the experimental parts of that book exclusively to the Lord Jesus Christ give certain proof that they are destitute of a living experience. But why do they attribute the afflictions and sorrows there spoken of to such an extent as they do to the Lord Jesus Christ, and make out that such feelings were passed through only by him? Why, if they made it appear that none were true Christians, but such as knew these things personally and experimentally, they would thereby cut themselves off. Where would their religion be then? And so they wrest the scriptures. We find David in the beginning of this psalm saying, "What few can, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me." Now that very passage would cut off 19 out of every 20 professors in London. They would say, if they were honest, if this is the experience of a child of God, I am not one. How many of you does it cut off? I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Have you ever uttered this cry? Not as a formal cry, but a cry of necessity, arising out of the conviction that nothing would do for you but the balm of Gilead. When did you have your wounds healed so that you could say, "Thou hast healed me"? O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. If you can say so, I will not cut you off as a dead professor. If that cry has gone forth from your heart, if you have had your wounds healed, I think better of you than of many who can quote scripture from beginning to end. David says, "O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave." Now that is a low place to be brought to, the grave. He does not say, "I got out of it myself." It is all of free grace. There is no exaltation of himself or his own strength. "Thou hast kept me alive," he says, "that I should not go down to the pit." He ascribes it all to God's favour. And then he says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his." Now there is something meant in being made saints. We are not born into the world saints, nor do we grow up so. When did God make you a saint? When were you sanctified and cleansed? Are you like saints in your daily walk and conversation? Are you like people set apart for the praise, honour and glory of God, so that it can be said of you, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his"? Can you stand apart and say, "We are the saints of God"? Once we lived in sin and wickedness, in covetousness and uncleanness, but we have been cleansed and washed and purified by the sanctifying power of God's grace. Give thanks then, ye saints, at the remembrance of his holiness, for his kind and gracious dealings toward you. His anger endureth but a moment. Now we must know something of the wrath of God in our conscience, for if we do not, how can we bless God for delivering us from the wrath to come? We cannot know it simply by reading about it in the Bible. Do we know anything about his indignation toward us as sinners? What condemnation, what anger, what wrath have we experienced in our souls? Have we ever been tried at God's bar? Have our transgressions and iniquities been brought up against us? Have our sins been to us more numerous than the hairs of our head? Has Satan ever stood as our accuser? Have we expected that God would cut us off for our sin and wickedness? I have felt so. I have been afraid that some judgment would come upon me and wished I had never been born. And oh, what a dreadful state it is. What is more wretched than to have the wrath of God in the conscience? A man may endure many afflictions, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Have you known this? Have you been brought to cry to God for mercy upon you? Have you ever pitied yourselves and asked God to look down upon you as a poor, helpless sinner? Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Have you ever had that scripture applied to your heart with power? Have your sins seemed scarlet coloured in your eyes? Or have you flattered yourself like the Pharisee that you were pure and good and that God was pleased with you? Have you felt so vile and guilty, so broken and contrite in spirit, and brought so low as to be plunged in Job's ditch till your very clothes abhor you? Now, if you know nothing of this anger enduring for a moment, how can you know the joys and consolations of God's grace? What say you? Cannot we have the joy and consolation without the affliction and trial? Paul says to the Corinthians, our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. He puts the sorrowing first and then the consolation afterwards. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The wounding comes before the healing. For what comfort can a Saviour bring to those who never felt their woe? A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. New life from him we must receive before for sin we rightly grieve. In his favour is life. Now, has God ever favoured you? Do you know anything of God's favour? Some may say God has shown his favour to us in giving us plenty of food and raiment. We have temporal favours. Yes, and so have thousands that are now in the torments of hell. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. In his favour is life. But it is a favour of a very different kind. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. It is a special mercy and favour that is besought by God's family, for this gives life to their souls. Has God then ever favoured your soul with any tokens of his loving kindness? Have you ever had anything to thank him for in the way of spiritual blessings? Some may say, no, we have not. Well then, have you ever thanked him for this, that you are out of hell? Have you ever felt it a mercy to be out of hell? Now he is showing favour to many, though they know it not, in afflicting them, abasing them, and laying them low. Why, thousands are deceiving themselves, thinking they are going to heaven, while they are going to hell. Perhaps in this city there may be scores found who fear that all their religion will end in crying and groaning to the Lord. And there may be thousands, on the other hand, flattering themselves they are going to heaven, who will as surely go to hell. They are crying, peace, peace. But sudden destruction will come upon them, and they shall not escape. Now it is a sign of being a partaker of the Lord's favour if he wounds, distresses, and afflicts you. That favour gives life. It gives living faith to bring home blessed, sweet, and precious promises. There is no life or feeling in a man till he is thus quickened. If the Lord has quickened your dead soul, it is a great token of his favour and mercy. In his favour is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. How short-lived is his anger, how long his goodness and favour is to his dear people. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now have you ever been weeping? Have you ever felt any godly sorrow? We are to preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You may find very many that are troubled about this world, troubled about getting rich or about losing their property, troubled in their person or in their family. But how few do you find who are troubled about their souls? Now either you have wept about your sins, or you have not wept about your sins. Have you ever said in the language of your heart, O thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in? All creation groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. Have you ever looked at the dreadful curse that hangs over sin? Have you ever viewed yourself as under that curse? Have you ever expected that it would be your lot to be cut off and sent to perdition? Have you been made sensible of your state? Have you felt any alarm about it? Have you ever been pricked to the heart and cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" When affliction or trouble comes upon anyone, there is an inquiry and a cry for deliverance. Now, have you wept? Have you supplicated? Weeping may endure for a night, but there is an end to it, for joy cometh in the morning. After this weeping comes joy, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But some say, cannot we have this joy without weeping, or with only a little weeping? Now I speak as a friend towards you. I do not wish you should. I wish you to have some trouble, affliction, and travail of souls. I wish you to go down into the deeps and have a sense of your guilt and unworthiness. That is what I wish you. You will say, that is very painful to flesh and blood. But if there is no sowing, there can be no reaping. Of the two debtors that were forgiven their debt, which loved the most, which loved the most? The one who owed 500 pence, or the other who owed 50? Moreover, if you had not this weeping and sorrowing, if joy came at once and you said, now I know I shall go to heaven, Christ is mine. If this were the case, Satan would come in and say, this is the joy of the stony ground era. It sprang up in a moment and will soon wither away. Satan would come in like a flood and you would be driven to despair and say, it is all a delusion. But if you have come through much affliction, if you have been well purged in the furnace of your dross and tin, Satan cannot bring a charge against you that you have got your religion too cheaply. I believe that every soul who has got his religion in this way, in the end has blessed God for it. As gold from the flame, he'll bring thee at last to praise him for all through which thou hast passed. Happy is the man that endureth affliction. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, says one. Weeping is to endure for a night. But I do not want it so long as that. A night is a long time to be in darkness and dreariness. Some have a much longer night than others. Many have a little reprieve in their bondage. Some sweet portions from God's word may be given them just to keep them alive in the midst of their sorrows and afflictions. Or many precious promises may be given them for their encouragement, such as, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. These and other promises will be given to him, and they will raise up a little hope in his soul in the midst of his affliction, trouble and sorrow. So that though he dare not say God is his Father, and he shall be in heaven, yet he dare not say he shall be in hell. He is ready to say, however sad my experience, yet if God intended to destroy me, he would not have shown me these things. Thus God gives him testimonies of his loving kindness, and joy cometh in the morning. Darkness will be followed by light, and trouble succeeded by joy. But you may say, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So it does. And heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. But a good word maketh it glad. It must stoop before it can be made glad. It must know its own bitterness before it has that joy with which a stranger intermeddleth not. Can a man who has never left dry land understand what it is to be saved from drowning? What can a stranger to sorrow know of the joy that cometh in the morning after a night of weeping? What can be like it? Well might Paul say, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. It is only by the revelation of God's blessed Spirit that these things can be known. They can be obtained at in no other way. Then the soul rejoices and blesses, praises and adores God for them, and prizes them above all other good. For this God is our God for ever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. He delivers our feet from falling and our souls from death. He turns our captivity and girds us with gladness, that we may sing unto him a new song and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now some here may be very much cut up in their feelings, wondering where their religion will end, thinking how very far many have gone, and then at last cut off, tried in their minds about the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, and many other passages of Scripture, such as the unclean spirit going out of a man, and the last state of that man being worse than the first. The devil accuses them of hypocrisy, and one thing or another, and their depraved hearts are continually witnessing against them. How blessed it is when the Lord says to such, return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. When the poor soul is thus brought out of the prison house, oh, how he blesses and praises God. Now, has this been your experience? Can you say, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Those who fear God will not laugh at it, though worldling and dead professors may. They will say, I would rather the spirit of adoption were in my soul to call God Father than have £1,000. And my greatest desire is to feel that God is my salvation. We find David saying in his prosperity, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favour thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. But he says immediately after, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. It is not going to be all sunshine. The path will not be always smooth, easy and plain. You will have thorns, briars and thickets to encounter, foes to fight and battles to gain. You will have to contend with the world, the flesh and the devil, with a roving eye and a wandering heart. It was these things that caused Peter to say, Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Our carnal lusts war against the soul. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What various ways there are of hardening the soul. What a powerful influence the love of money has. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. What a thing pride is. What a thing selfishness is. What a thing is anger, wrath, or malice. What infidelity and blasphemy. What iniquities and sins will rise up in the heart and fight against all that is God glorifying, till the poor soul finds that, like the Shulamite, he has, as it were, the company of two armies warring in his breast. But in all these things, I believe you will find that Christ becomes to you as the chiefest among 10,000 and altogether lovely. You will find the most opposite things working in you. If you have love, you will also find enmity. If you have faith, you will have unbelief too. If you have liberality, it will be opposed by covetousness. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. These discoveries make you know the insufficiency of any man born into the world to come to Jesus unless the Father draws him, and that he alone can preserve you in the narrow road that leads to glory. If you were not tried in this way, you would be satisfied about your religion. You would be contented with a cold, formal, powerless profession of religion. You would be always finding fault with the minister's preaching and saying that you didn't profit from it. But you would not want spiritual profit. You would want to be encouraged in your dead, lukewarm, worldly state, and to be told that it is a good thing to be settled like Moab upon your lees, and not emptied from vessel to vessel. You would not want to be told that you must put on the Christian armour, that you would have many foes to meet, and plenty of battles to fight. You would not wish to hear that every branch of the true vine must be purged and purified, and that no purifying means no fruit, as Jesus said to his disciples, Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Now who among you can say, that you have got something like true and genuine experience in your souls. Such religion as you could never have learnt from books or men, that has a divine weight and power in it, that causes you to take up your cross, to make sacrifices, to be persecuted by the world and cast out by dead professors. Can you say that you have a religion which bears marks and evidences in your daily walk and conversation and in all the transactions of life, that it comes from God? Are you sure that you are not under the power of covetousness or uncleanness or some besetting sin? Are you sure you are not under the power of pride or worldly conformity? Can you say sincerely and honestly, you have no desire to get rich? For the love of money is the root of all evil. Can you say that you have singleness of eye, godly fear, and tenderness of conscience? If you speak well of yourself, will those who know you speak well of you? Do your servants speak well of their masters and your children of their parents? Do your masters speak well of their servants and the parents of their children? Do the husbands speak well of their wives and the wives of their husbands? Or do your children say, I wonder my parents can act as they do, and then go and take the Lord's Supper? Does the servant talk thus of the master or the master of the servant? Is there sincerity, integrity, and common honesty? Or if not, is there guilt brought upon the conscience? Is there contrition and confession? You may say, we are poor, fallen, sinful creatures and cannot keep ourselves from falling into sin. Yes, but do these sins cause you any trouble of mind? Do they lie like a heavy burden upon your conscience? Or is your heart hardened and your conscience seared? Remember, it is an awful thing to be a reprobate. Some may say, oh, we cover over the sins of good men. But you are not authorized to do so, and it will bring you into a snare. I know that we are fallen creatures, very prone to sin, and that if God does not keep us, we shall fall. But do we cry to God to keep us and bless us? He well knows all things. There is no deceiving him. What a difference there is between those who are in the narrow road among the few and those who are in the broad road among the many. That divides us all. We must belong to the one or the other. Now those who say, I do not care a straw which I belong to. What a hardened state to be in. But some may say, I hope I belong to the few. I bless God for the least mark and evidence of it. I am tried and exercised about it. I want fresh proofs and signs of it, and to feel the love of God revealed to my heart. Can you say you are crying to God to give you these tokens? Would you rather have it than 10,000 sovereigns? Are you saying, what are 10,000 sovereigns to me if my soul will soon be in torments? Do you say, I desire to call God my Father and know that Christ is my Saviour by the revelation of the Spirit? Can you say, You desire this above all things else. Then if you have called God Father, do you desire to be purged and purified as a living branch of the true vine, that so you may bring forth much fruit to his honour, praise and glory. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £610, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. John Hart is expected to preach this evening, and there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field. Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Warren next Lord's Day, who also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace, what glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. 1033.
Jesus. Oh, we do pray thy blessing upon that which we do. Oh, Lord, do grant us submission to all thy finding, all thy dealings. Oh, give me a calm and thankful heart from every murmur. Oh, Lord, do grant that we may see light. Oh, in all things that may come, Lord, that we may. Oh, Lord, when things come, that we may see thy hand in it, Lord, that there may be that nevertheless art. Oh, Lord, do grant likeness upon that which we are. Oh, grant us meditation. Oh, do be with us now as we sing. Do gather with the children this afternoon and grant that help and assistance. Help those that. And Lord, may there be something done this to thy honour and glory. Do come up with thy servant, we hope to hear this. Oh, Lord, do help him through it. Give him strength. Oh, may it prove to the world. Lord, that he should come amongst us this, may he be thy messenger of life. Bless him in his eyes. And Lord, yet he send us not alone. Oh, may there be some this. Oh, Lord, do be with us now as we would thank thee for the beautiful such. Oh, thy goodness to us is a man. Lord, oh, so hard is Lord, oh, so good. Yet still, Lord, oh, grant us such. Oh, do help us, Lord, to fall with confessing us. Lord, do gather us on the morrow of the prayer meeting. Oh, do endure that real prayer and dies in God, the Lord will surely, oh, do gather us to the ground and the spirit. Oh, be with us now, forgive our errors. Oh, remember any unable to gather this, we would be only ones at home. Lord, watch over those who have gone through. Lord, do keep them for this. And bring them back to the appointed. We ask it for Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God.